We've got over 1,000 academics online right now listening to you, and we'll be recording, and we give them a little live preview, so we're actually being listened to by people right now around the world, really intelligent and important people who make a lot of other opinions educated around the world, because they are people that teach and people that really are opinion leaders all over the world. So they'll be listening to you too, and I welcome you to the show, and I'll start the broadcast part of the show now.
All right,
here we go. So we're going to be talking to a very courageous Jewish woman, young woman, but incredibly intelligent, who had her own kind of awakening to the Jewish issue and Jewish racism and Jewish supremacy, which we're not allowed to talk about these days, but Jews are increasingly talking about it. And I would like to bring her on in honor of her. And I'll just start by saying, Ms. Kaufman or Mrs. Kaufman, whatever you want to call me, you let me know. Or Lori, that I really appreciate the fact that you want to share the things that you've been learning growing up as a Jew and experiencing Jewish life, you know, so far in your life, and what you can help share with us and help us understand the Jewish mentality in the world. And all Jews are obviously don't have the same mentality. You're proof of that. But I'm interested in getting your past and why you want to come on this controversial show with David Duke speaking. I do appreciate the fact that you're here. Well, Lori, thanks for coming with me. You can tell us, how would you like the audience to address you?
You can just call me Lori. That's absolutely fine. It's Miss, but, you know, Miss Lori Kaufman, either way. Thank you so much for having me. I'm actually really glad to be here. I think this is some of the most important work that can be that we can be doing at this point in time. I agree with everything you've been talking about so far. It is an issue that we are out of time on, in my opinion, dealing with this Jewish supremacy issue. I did grow up, a little bit of background on me. I did grow up Jewish. My mom actually converted to Judaism before she married my father. Mm-hmm. So just knowing from childhood stories about, you know, she went over to my grandmother's house for dinner one night, and this was my father's mother, the Jewish family, and mm-hmm. being a shiksa, you know, they went around the table and they set a placemat for everyone but my mother. So that's sort of the overall kind of vibe that I've felt Judaism treats other religions.
Even though you were married?
They weren't married yet, and somehow they made it.
I got you. But even though you're going to, this is the man who you're going to marry, and they treated you like kind of less than a person, basically.
Yeah, this was my mother. And I'm surprised that she, you know, they ended up letting that marriage happen, but she did convert to Judaism. But maybe that's why, you know, it's in my DNA a little bit, even though I'm more than half Ashkenazi Jew, to be a skeptic a little bit about the traditions of Jews and the question about whether or not to be a Zionist. I did go to Hebrew school my entire life. I went to Jewish summer camp, which I heard you mention. We did not salute the Israeli flag at my summer camp, but I'm not far, you know, not far from doing that.
I got it.
We did celebrate Shabbat dinners and, you know, so on and so forth. But there was definitely this mentality instilled with us that we were God's chosen people. And I didn't really understand, it didn't resonate with me. I didn't really understand and see the world that way. I wasn't convinced that, you know, my family was better than any other family. And in fact, you know, there was so much turmoil in my family that it really turned me off from Jews just in that area of my life. My Jewish family is not that fantastic of a family, you know? And now especially, they really don't like me as much going out talking about things of this nature. But, you know, about a year ago, I converted to Christianity. I realized you know, we've been told so many lies. It's hard to trace back where they originated, I would say, from the origination of Jews themselves. It's in their tendency to hate Christians, you know, to have an issue with praising God. Obviously, they killed Jesus. They really are an immoral, greedy, kind of money-worshipping, power-worshipping people.
Well, obviously, that's true. We should be careful the way we word this because, yes, there's a lot of that in there. Obviously, there's a lot of blank lines in the world. There's a lot of Solomons, like head of Goldman Sachs, that was just convicted that he wasn't. But Goldman Sachs was convicted of a $4.5 billion money laundering and bribery scheme in Malaysia, which bankrupted the educational system and the medical system of that country, caused damage to millions and millions of people by this major firm in the United States of America. And they were convicted. In fact, they pled guilty to a international criminal conspiracy. And yet these people, they're still interviewed on MSNBC, on the Jewish networks, the Oppenheim-controlled networks, and the Comcast, which is controlled by Mr. Mirsky. His name now is Roberts, with name changes, which is another thing we see notice with the Jews. It's almost like a form of disguise. It's like how a predator tries to disguise themselves like a leaf, you know, and so forth. And then the praying mantis gets the insect a meal for the day. Because they don't want it to be understand when they do these crimes. It's nice of them to have a name that's more similar to the people they live among. And Roberts is the name who runs Comcast, one of the biggest media corporations on the planet, including all of NBC and all those NBC offshoots, CNBC, all that. And so his name is Roberts today. Sounds like a British name, but his real name, or his grandfather's, from which changed to himself, his parents and then him, was Mirsky, right? And he was a Jewish, one of the many Marxists that were fleeing from Russia. And so they have these aspects. And I want to share with you another quotation out of my book, which also is a direct quotation out of an article by Stephen Steinlight. That's the person I was quoting earlier, who did go to Jewish day school like you, but he was a little bit more. But he served his 5 years as a director of national affairs for the largest and most powerful Jewish organization in the United States. That's the American Jewish Committee. Now, he made the remarks I'm going to quote to you, and you probably haven't heard these before either, but I'm going to see how you resonate with this and how you, you know, how you kind of see this kind of attitude, okay? And this is what he says in this magazine article on immigration in a national Jewish magazine, and this was in October of 2001. And this was in Commentary, which is a Jewish-run, Zionist-run publication, big time. So this is what he said, quote, and this is great for me to give you a quote and then see how you react to this as kind of an awakened due to these things and see if it reminds you of many aspects. He says, quote, this is his own words, not mine. I confess it, at least, like thousands of other typical Jewish kids of my generation. I was reared as a Jewish nationalist, even a quasi-separatist. Every summer for 2 months, for 10 formative years during my childhood and adolescence, I attended Jewish summer camp. There, each morning, I saluted a foreign flag, dressed in a uniform reflecting its colors, sang a foreign national anthem, learned a foreign language, Hebrew, of course, learned foreign folk songs and dances, and was taught that Israel was the true homeland. Immigration to Israel was considered the highest virtue. And like many other Jewish teens of my generation, I spent 2 summers working in Israel on a collective farm while I contemplated that possibility. More tacitly and subconsciously, I was taught the superiority of my people to the Gentiles who had oppressed us. We were taught to view non-Jews as untrustworthy outsiders, people from whom sudden gusts of hatred might be anticipated. People less sensitive, and of course, less intelligent and less moral than ourselves. We were also taught that the lesson of our dark history is that we could rely on no one. That's almost teaching a paranoia, isn't it? It's almost like, you know, did you grow up when you have these Jewish holidays? It's kind of interesting that so many of them are based on persecutions or supposed efforts to Holocaust Jews or to kill Jews or wipe them out. The Egyptian, you celebrate that. Of course, your Seder dinners and your celebration of Passover, and which is really kind of a celebration. You don't think of it that way, I'm sure, while you're eating the food, but how killing the firstborn of the Egyptian children. I mean, you have Purim, which is celebrated every year, which is a celebration in the synagogues of the destruction of Haman and the wiping out of his 10 kids. In fact, in synagogues, they actually do renditions of the killing of Haman. Sometimes, in fact, most synagogues actually have their kids dress up like Haman, dress up like Mordecai in what was Persia. And they do like a, in the synagogue, they pretend to have like a lynching. It's called a reading of the Megillah. And they, during this celebration, they beat the willow branches, which symbolizes the beating of Haman. And they do like a mock lynching of Haman and killing his 10 sons, symbolizing killing his descendants. And by the way that Jews treat Purim, this is another one of their big celebrations, of course. The way they treat Purim is like this, you know, they even argue in the Talmud that these Amalekites, which God said that Saul should massacre, and by the way, men, women, children, and just to make sure they understood to kill the babies, they even made sure they said, men, kill all the men, all the women. That's in Saul, and Samuel, excuse me, in the Old Testament. And that was Saul who was supposed to be doing this. Kill the men, the women, the children, and even the sucklings, the babies. And then, of course, all the, even the animals. That's, you know, incredible genocidal language. And yet, and then this, the killing of Haman and his sons is symbolizing rectifying this destruction of, that the destruction of the Amalekites wasn't completed. And maybe they're thinking they're going to complete it now in the destruction of Gaza, where Netanyahu makes them equivalent. Sorry to talk so long there, but I'd like to get your reactions to what Steinlight says. Now, that's not written in an obscure thing. That's written in an article called The Jewish Stake in America's Changing Demographics. And that's, you know, that's published in a major Jewish magazine. So what I'm talking about here is not something I'm making up or what you're making up. This is a major, important Jewish leader saying to us and talking about something called Jewish racism and Jewish supremacism and basically hatred and fear and anger against 99.8% of humanity, the non-Jews of humanity. Sorry to talk so long there, but I want you to go anywhere you want to from that monologue that I just gave you in quoting from Steinlight.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're bringing back a lot of memories. I remember being at a temple or synagogue celebrating Purim, and I think I remember that reenactment that we would engage in. It makes me want to revisit some of these memories I had and pull them apart as to what some symbolism really meant. But I do think that, think about just the Holocaust narrative in itself. It's ingrained not only within Jews, but within our entire culture as Americans. They have us read Anne Frank, which I found out, you know, in school, which I found out is a complete sham, actually, of a book. And what society is trying to do is reinforce that victim complex into for Jews and to Jews. And then while you're learning at Hebrew school that you're an elitist and better than everyone else in the world, but also to be fearful of them and that they hate you, when really the Jewish religion projects a lot more hate onto Christianity and other religions. If you think about it, you know, the Jewish religion is the one that's least accepting of other members to join. It's very exclusive. You know, they're not trying to spread any of their messaging because it really isn't as much of a religion as it is a cult, in my opinion. But all of these excuses for Jewish people to feel and act supreme, it's been used in the past and is being used in the present and will continue being used in the future until we stop it, to perpetrate horrible offenses against humanity under the guise that, well, the Holocaust happened, so we can do whatever we want now. You have to let us do what we want. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but then their control, the supremacy isn't just in their head, because they really have taken control over every aspect of our society when it comes down to, you know, the media. It's not one thing you hear on the news is anything but propaganda. Every commercial that we watch is propaganda. Nothing is to be trusted. If it's on TV, it's evil, and it's approved by, you know, someone in the media who's Jewish and wants to promote that message. And to me, everything that's promoted on there is anti-American and anti-truth. And censorship really is a weapon of mass destruction. It's proven to be. Even now, when you try to wake people up to what's going on, and it's beyond obvious. At this point, they're laughing in our faces and just operating front and center. They have nothing to hide anymore. And still people don't want to see reality for what it is. They still are waiting to see Fox News report it, or, you know, I don't even think if Fox News reported it at this point that anyone would truly understand the kind of psyop that we've been operating under, unfortunately. I don't know what to do to wake people up besides sort of having conversations like this and standing my ground and not being intimidated of getting fired, which I did, and canceled. I don't, you know, it is what it is. If you're not getting canceled these days, I don't know what you're doing with your time, but.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, truth is basically related to that. The more truthful you are on the subject, I mean, you can start to talk about certain parameters on the peripheral edges of Jewish supremacism. And the truth is that the mass genocide of Palestinians is a massive catastrophe for them. It is a Nakba. And there's been 25,000, at least, it's probably more like 40 or 50,000. And there's probably still a lot buried under the rubble that endured the worst death of all. And that's being buried alive, being trapped and buried alive. Edgar Allan Poe used to write about that, you know, in some of the different stories I read when I was a child, and the horror of someone who they think he's dead or she's dead, and then they end up burying them. And sometimes they can hear the funeral if they ever get awakened, or they wake up and they make some noise and the people are shocked to see these people are alive. Sometimes they think that, oh, they're a grocer coming or something. But being buried alive is one of the worst kind of deaths ever. And yet many hundreds, if not thousands, have been buried alive by this massive bombing of almost every building, or 65% of the buildings, destroying the whole infrastructure of the place. They burn down and they destroy and they bomb universities because they want to also destroy the history of the Palestinian people. And that's part of the whole genocide thing, right? They had 500 villages wiped out by the Israeli Zionists. But I did want to mention to you again some of the things that you know, and you're relatively new to the movement of this anti-Zionist movement. I don't know when you woke up. We'll get to that information in a minute. But I want to share with you some of the data that when people say Jews control the media, the ADL will tell us that that's just nothing but an anti-Semitic canard, right?
Right.
Well, Statista is the most accepted statistical organization in the world. They keep statistics on corporations, on products, on businesses, on genres of, you know, different kinds of businesses, data and everything. And they rate and they talk about and they show the revenue in euros or in dollars of the most powerful media behemoths on earth. I mean, these huge global media, and every one of the top five are all Zionists. And here's the listing that they gave just in 2020. a couple of years ago. It was AT&T, John Stankey, big Zionist. He was supported Israel and Zionism all the way up and down the line, including this latest Gaza war. Alphabet Inc., that's Google, and YouTube. YouTube is 90% of the videos watched in the world. That's completely controlled, owned, really, by Brendan Page. It doesn't matter whoever they have inside working for them. They're going to be doing like a Shabbos Goy, a non-Jewish Goy, that's going doing their business. They're going to ban things. And I had billions of views of my videos, which are shared by 160,000 different channels at one point, 90% positive. And of course, I was banned from YouTube, not because they weren't popular, though they were 95% popular. And they weren't hateful, but they talked about Jewish supremacism and Jewish racism and Jewish crimes against the Palestinians and others. So that's Alphabet the second. Third is Comcast. I told you about him before. That's Roberts, real name Mirtsky. And that controls all the NBC channels and a lot of other backbone of the internet. Facebook is up by Zuckerberg, very big Zionist controller, and who allows also, you know, every kind of interference in elections you can name for when they were trying to control the elections with Trump, especially, and Hillary. And then you can talk about Walt Disney, Robert Iger. Of course, before him, it was Eisner and Bob Jacob. And it's just, he's back in there. It's like revolving chairs. But Disney now went from a Christian, the last Christian holdout in Hollywood, to a completely Jewish control that preaches just as far, you know, anti-Christian and anti-family and anti, you know, culturally goodness and pro, you know, pro drugs and everything else. I'll never forget, soon after Eisner took control, they were doing a movie called The Crying Game, which is all about homosexuals and all sorts of just total degeneracy. And you think about the fact that Walt Disney had been turning over in his grave. So when we talk about the media that you were talking about, how they control so much, that's the five biggest in the world. They're affecting not only America, and not only, you know, these things are watched by Protestants, by Catholics, by evangelicals. They're watched by white people, black people, yellow people, you know, or Asian people, I should say, politically correct. And they're watched by people all over the world. And when you talk about the phones in your pocket, they're controlled by the same people. And they control the Wikipedia of the world, which is the encyclopedia of the world, which is 100 times bigger than any single encyclopedia was when I grew up, like Britannica or World Book. Britannica maybe was the biggest. World Book was pretty good in the United States in English language. But Wikipedia now is used 10 times more than any encyclopedia was ever world in the world. It's right in your pocket. It's the way people discover any person they want to find out about them. They go to Wikipedia. It's run by a Jewish guy named Wales. And he's not Welsh, by the way. And he's a self-identified Jew. He won a prize, $1 million prize from Bar Ilan Zionist University in Israel, rewarding his good work. And he said that he's a stalwart supporter of Israel. But he's going to be fair, of course. But of course, he's not fair, and we can prove it. So when you talk about this Jewish supremacy, this is not some sort of canard, is it? It's a real fact. And as you go along in your education on this subject, It's great, and you can send you a copy of my book. It's great that you have this access and these things that you can now use whenever you want to talk about these subjects, and you can go to the original sources, which are not my sources, which are not the sources of right-wingers or left-wingers or whatever, anti-Zionists. These are the sources of mainstream, powerful media. Many corporations are themselves owned and controlled by Jews themselves. So, your thoughts.
Checks out. And, you know, even Elon Musk posted on Twitter, when he purchased Twitter, you know, a big kind of infographic that showed every network and all of them. I can't think of one. I mean, obviously they didn't show any that aren't, but I think it's like 99% of all media outlets are run and owned by Jewish people. And, you know, it was great to see him stand up for what I thought was the right cause. But since he bought Twitter, he appointed a new CEO who is, of course, not, I don't know if she's Jewish herself. She has a Jewish husband, and she's a chairperson for the WEF.
So there you go.
There, exactly. So the second we thought we had someone who was really for the people, Twitter is one of the most censored. You said you're kicked off Twitter. I've been kicked off Twitter, but I've been able to restore my accounts. I don't know how, through the grace of God. But
well, you don't have my name. Yes, you get one thing. You got an advantage over me.
maybe someday. But now, you know, the ADL themselves have censoring rights on every social media platform too. So the media that you're seeing coming in on your TV, in the newspapers, popping up on your search bars, when you Google something, everything that pops up. But not only that, but on social media, you have a strictly Jewish organization strictly out for reducing the amount of anti-Semitism. And I say that under quotes. I don't take that word so seriously. But again, you have them editing and kicking people off Twitter just as much as there was political interference with elections. You know, they not only have that side of it, as we were discussing donations, donation wise, then they have the media, then they have the censoring rights on social media, and then they just rig the elections anyway. So how are we going to get, there's absolutely no solving this matrix or coming to a successful solution to this within the system that we're now in. So in my opinion, it's time to overtake the system, and it's within our constitutional rights to do so. When we have a government that's not serving us, I don't think we have a government anymore. America barely exists anymore. So it's really that time, the time has come to really do something about it. And strange and bizarre that some people still don't see what's happening right in front of them.
It's really shocking, but you can't expect the average people to know, because the average person is going to be a victim of mainstream media. And even though, you know, like only 3% of the population, in fact, was even watching Tucker Carlson, and even he can't really call out the Jews directly.
Correct, yeah.
He has been somewhat critical of Israel, thank God, unlike any other. And that's one reason why they had to fire him and get rid of him. And he was also critical of the war in Ukraine, which is another one of those Jewish wars. It's a Jewish head of Ukraine. It was a Jewish prime minister of Ukraine. It was a Jewish started war with again, most people don't even know that John Kerry, that his real family name is in Kerry. Now, Kerry was a good name to have in Massachusetts when he wanted to run for the Senate, wanted to run for president. John Kerry, right? Sounds like a real Irishman. Kerry's butter, right? Mm-hmm. But his real name isn't Kerry. It's Khan. And it's a Jewish name. And his family, the name is a Jewish name. It's not Kerry. It's Khan. And Kohanim, that's a form of a Kohanim, which is, of course, the Jewish priest class. And in Israel, by the way, to show you the difference that people don't even understand, and a lot of Jews don't even know this. I think Gilad Altman told me, he says, the only person he ever met, it wasn't a Jew, that knew more about Jews than most Jews he knew, right? But in Israel, you have a law that where a Jew theoretically can marry a Gentile, but that's only if they convert and they go through a long process, which is also humiliating for a woman or a man to go through. In fact, men are basically required to be circumcised. And for most Europeans, which are not circumcised, or other people are not circumcised, the idea of a Jewish rabbi, and it's got to be Orthodox if you're going to be converted to Judaism, they don't give a damn about reform or anything else, but if you're circumcised, you got a rabbi who performs a circumcision. And not only do they do one of the most excruciating, terrible things in the world to a person's private areas, right? But the rabbi does this by, I don't even want to discuss it. I can't. It's a family show, but they literally put the organ into their mouths.
Yeah.
Right. As circumcision, and that's one thing. It's also caused the death of a lot of Jewish kids, by the way, in New York, because they get these infections. These herpes infections can even cause death. But
I didn't know that.
We learn a little bit every day. But it's like. So this is a big barrier to conversion, isn't it? To obviously be, it's okay, you want to convert, and you might want the money, you might want the prestige, you might want to join the chosen people, but you're going to have some rabbi, especially think about years past, you know, operate on you with antiseptic, you know, without any sort, you know, and use their mouth to close the wound of a circumcision. I mean, you just can't make this kind of thing up. And that's certainly going to not have many people convert. And that's one thing about Jews, unlike the Muslim religion, unlike the Christian religion, unlike Hindus, unlike the people who are of different religions around the world, Confucius or Confucianism, or you can talk about all sorts of other things, Buddhism, they all reach out and they accept converts openly. They bring them in. You know, they break bread with them. They work with them. They pray with them. They open their lives and their homes and their things to them. This is just unheard of in the Jewish community. That's extremely rare. So, I mean, so the Israel and is based, and Judaism is itself based on a very genealogical understanding. A Jew, in fact, even in America, there's a good article in the USA Today, which I've reprinted in my books, talking about how that that many Jews, at least 50% of the Jews that go to Reform Church, or synagogue, I should say, in America, don't even believe in God, and yet they often are leading the sermons. You couldn't even consider that, say, among Catholics or Protestants. You can't even imagine people openly proclaiming atheists doing that. But that's a good example. And then they ask them, it's an article written by Jews in USA Today, and they say, well, why do you go to synagogue now? To connect up with the Jewish people. Because Judaism is really about being Jews, and it's about being devoted to Jewish issues by itself. It's extremely racist phenomena. Can you relate to some aspects of that? You gave us a few glimpses into your early past. Could you tell us how that resonates in you in certain attitudes?
Absolutely. So it is true that a lot of Jews are atheists, which is just bizarre to think about. I heard Brother Nathaniel was on an interview the other day, and he doubled down on that idea and also said that anybody praying who is Jewish, if they're praying to a God, it's probably Satan. Because really, Jews are deniers of Christ, right? So deniers of Christ are technically, I mean, if the definition holds true, they're the Antichrist. You know, if you just want to think about it that way. But it
the New Testament is, the Jews consider the New Testament the most anti-Semitic. They consider the New Testament the most anti-Semitic book ever written. And they say that there's 450 viciously hateful anti-Jewish passages in it. And there are a lot of passages that's warning Christians about Jewish attitudes and persecutions of fellow Christians. That's right. And Jesus Christ himself and Jesus' own words would be prosecuted and put people in jail for today. Like, for instance, in 8:44, in John 8:44, where Christ says, "You and your father are the sons of the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own essence, because that is his nature to lie, and he's the father of the lie. Now, those same words uttered by Jesus Christ, if they were uttered by anybody else, and they have been uttered by preachers who've been put in jail in countries, other countries around the world, and Jews themselves recognize this. So but Christians don't read this, and that's the power they have, is because they can talk about this in the most powerful and biggest, most prestigious newspaper in Israel, the Jerusalem Post, where they talk about is the New Testament anti-Semitic. And he answers in the positive, yes, it's anti-Semitic. And he talks about 450 passages. But Christians aren't allowed to know that. And Christians are so brainwashed today by the Jewish power of the organization of Christians and Jews, which is run by Jews, by the way, they actually run the organizations, are brainwashing them to tell that these Jews are the biggest enemies of Christianity, always have been since the time of Christ, in organized power. Oh, that we got to support Jewish power, even though, of course, they go against every sort of Christian principle. And you're a Christian now yourself, I understand.
I am, yeah. I want to get baptized. That's one of my short-term goals, as well as getting my own page on ADL's website. You probably have yours, so I'm proud.
That's, well, congratulations for that. And welcome to a fellow Christian. And, of course, I'm a Christian, and I'm always going to say that and admit that and promote that. At the same time, I believe in complete religious freedom for all people. Whether you are a believer or not, you have a right to have human rights. You have a right to vote. You have a right to live. You have a right to exist. You have a right to be treated fairly and decently. And I believe that, you know, and we also have a right, I think, in our Christian countries to maintain Christianity and the culture of our religion. Are you aware, Lori, that, and you might know a little bit about that. Now, you know about Hanukkah, even though Hanukkah was always a minor celebration among Jews, but it was still a celebration. And Hanukkah was, of course, the festival of lights, or the burning of the lights in the captured temple. Of course, the story of Hanukkah is an entirely different story than people know, which the Jews celebrate the same time Christians, about the same time that Christians celebrate Christmas. And Hanukkah is a story of the Maccabeans, these radical Jewish terrorists who attack Jews who are hobnobbing and going to school with and intermarrying and being friends with and in business with Gentiles, specifically in Jerusalem with Greeks and Syrians. And so they have this massacre. They massacre the Greeks, they massacre the Syrians, they massacre any Jews that wear their clothing and so forth. Not because the Greeks and Syrians were killing them or hurting them or oppressing them. No, it's because they were accepting them as brothers, allowing them to intermarry with their children, allowing them to go to the academies, allowing them in their business enterprises. This is a true story. So when they erect the menorah, they're actually celebrating an act of genocide against Syrians and Greeks, and you can't make it up. I'm sure they'll have some, once they get rid of all of Gaza and they take it over and they steal oil and everything from that country, and you know they continue to do what they're going to do, I'm sure there'll be celebrations like that, you know, that they'll have some sort of lighting something or something that they do to celebrate the mass murder. They have kids singing songs now, of course, in Israel that's really celebrating the mass murder of Palestinians and wiping Gaza flat, killing all the people and wiping them out, right? It's just amazing to think about this hypocrisy that's going on in the world. But again, most people are not aware of it. And yet Jewish supremacy, like we talked about in media, or we talk about in political fundraising, when we talk about in political power, six of the seven most important cabinet positions of Joe Biden are Jews, including the chief of staff. And both chiefs of staff have been Jews. So Biden is pretty demented anyway, obviously. So the chief of staff is like the most powerful person in the world. And he's the guy who decides who the rest of the major appointments are, because the chief of staff is the guy that sees everything that goes across the president's desk. And he kind of makes the decisions. And six of the seven of those important appointments, including Secretary of State, the National Intelligence, the National Intelligence Chief, the cabinet position now, Avril Haines, is a Jewish, like, hobnobs with the Mossad, loyalist to Israel. You can talk about Mayorkas, who they say is part of a diverse cabinet with Hispanic. No, he celebrates his Jewish heritage in his books, not his Hispanic heritage. Now, he's a Mariana Jew that acted like his family, acted like they were Christians, but they lied through their teeth. And they hated Christians in secret, because that's what Marana Jews did. But this is the kind of stuff that goes on. The Secretary of the Treasury, Yellen, and we can just, you know, we can go on and on and on. Secretary of State, Blinken. And these are the powers that exist. And yet anybody who talks about Jewish power, Gilad Osman, would you second Gilad Osman when he says Jewish power is so great that it's the one great power that you can't talk about? That's how powerful it is. We can talk about oil companies. We can talk about the military-industrial complex. Well, there's no weapons manufacturer owners of any weapons companies. There's some people that got some investments in them, for sure. But the 18 to the 20 biggest contributors to Biden, right, were Jews, and none of them were weapons manufacturers. They're all media people and bankers for the most part. Boy, that's who controls us. It's not a military-industrial complex. It's a Jewish supremacy complex. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. They control everything that we know.
Well, lots of everything. I don't know if it's everything, but it's close.
I almost think it's pretty close to everything, in my opinion. Yeah. the thing is that they're not even scared to hide it as much as, you know, they'll still lock people up these days. I'm surprised that can't happen here yet, although I've heard rumblings that people are getting arrested for hate speech, you know, on social media or making memes here. But just like you can prosecute people right now in Israel that are Jews who are standing up against genocide in Gaza, you know, you're allowed to put people in jail for
torture them.
Lies made up by Zionists or any really any given reason. And that's what's scary, because they can say anything, and whatever they deem hate speech is hate speech. Meanwhile, they're just projecting, deflecting, and laughing in our faces. They're bragging at this point about how much power they have. I mean, look at that whole like transgender party that happened at the White House when we're supposed to be, you know, celebrating our country. There's, you know, people naked with, you know, that are misgendering themselves on the lawn. Like, yeah. It's a spectacle. They had the horrible trans flag up with the, I mean, it's not even, and people just said, people celebrate it. It's not something we're supposed to be celebrating. And the more people celebrate it and accept it, the more they laugh and know that they're doing a good job at what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I know that you wanted me to speak a lot too, because this is your first time that you're actually hearing me in depth. But next time we go on, I'm going to go into a lot more about you and some of the things that you're most concerned about. I want to mention too what you just said, which is a very, very important point. Look at the transgenderism. So Jews, of course, they brag, and I can show their Jewish publications how they've led the so-called critical, you know, the whole Frankfurt School, which is all Jews and they're all Marxists, who are all Marxist Jews. But later they turned against the communist state of Russia because the Russians overthrew the Jews. And so they moved away from Marxism to a kind of a wokeism, right? And the critical race theory, the critical capitalist theory, the critical gender theory, and all these other things that conservatives always talk about. But it's so interesting to see, and it's really interesting to notice, and it's something that I did want to bring up to you as a Jew, or a Jim's Jewish heritage. I don't think I wouldn't identify you that way now. You're part Jewish in your heritage, but you seem to be identifying with the rest of the world, certainly not with the Jewish people. You have some Jewish blood, but that's okay. We'll take you. You're a crusader.
Can't change that. What if I could, but at the same time, it gives me position to talk about it, you know.
And no one can help what their pedigree is. I can work with any person in the world. I'm 100% European, but whatever. I love people who are 100% African, 100% Asian, 100% South American or American Indian, whatever they are, if they live good lives and they do good things. And they uphold true human rights and try to treat people fairly and decently. But it's so interesting that the Jews caused and they controlled communism, of course, for a long, long time. And there's still many Jewish leftists. Mm-hmm. But because they were devoted to what they call human rights, and they identified it kind of with non-Europeans because Europeans didn't really adapt to communism very well, that they have a tendency to condemn Europeans. Well, this was easy for Jews in the early days, but now Gentiles and other Jews, they're still wedded to this communist thing of trying to make out that all the goyim, all the European goyim are bad. The rest of the world's fine. You know, the Palestinians, its truth is the Palestinians are European. Most Palestinians look like somebody from Italy or Sicily or Spain, you know, or whatever. Turkey, most of the people there are actually European too. They're not exactly like Northern Europeans, but so what? But you know, it's just the idea that somehow white people are racist. And so this whole teaching of evil white people is something that Jews had to create in the overthrow of European societies. And that's exactly what they did. They purposely have brought in the mass immigration to change the demographics so they could take over everything. And divide and conquer strategy, the same way they demographically changed Palestine, right? From a 90% Palestinian region of the world to a region that's about now the Jews are about half the population if you add the Jews in Israel along with the occupied territories. And they're continuing to change that now. But it's really interesting to look at Jews and sometimes even the anti-Israel critics that call Israel apartheid. It's not an apartheid state. Apartheid by Mr. Verwoerd of South Africa was the idea of separate development and self-determination and the right of all people to that. It's like the two-state solution, right? But even among Jews, the only two-state solution that you can okay, it's, you can't okay that for South Africa, but you can okay it for Jews, right, where they can definitely have their entirely Jewish state, right? You see what I'm saying? The interesting things, but everybody else, they support this gay marriage and destruction of the family. They support all sorts of transgenderism and cutting off and destroying the reproductive organs and the organs of women to nurse their children if they had, the ability to have children even, and men to reproduce themselves. They support that all over the world, but in Israel, they cut that down. They don't allow gay marriage in Israel, yet it's Israelis and Jews supporting it all over the world. And it's the truth is that even though we don't want white suppression of anybody else, I don't want that. That's really been suppression of the rest of the world because Jews have controlled the United States government, and the United States military. Most Americans understand slavery's wrong. Britain and the European people ended slavery in the world. Israel has established slavery. They were the biggest slaveholders. So it's really interesting to see how Jews have this double standard about everything like this. And just notice it, folks. When they condemn Israel, they say, well, this is in the white supremacist mode. No, it's not. It's not in the white supremacist mode. It's not an apartheid state. It's a Jewish genocidal site. So we got about 2 minutes left. What are your final words and what's your feeling about the Palestinians and the genocide that's going on in Israel? And what should we do about it? As you, as a former Jew, but now identifying as a non-Jew and identifying with the rest of all humanity, the goyim of the world, what's your attitude toward Israel and the media and the powers that control over America and much of Europe today? And what do you think we should do in terms of Palestine?
So one thing I want to say is I think it's really interesting that they've gotten away, Judaism, Jews, Zionists, have gotten away with these disgusting, depraved sort of transgenderism, DEI, LGBTQ, under the vice of human rights, which is really like what we're talking about is human rights. So it's just incredible how much they have the power to spin and convince the general public to follow along with their agenda to their own demise. Also, when we talk about white supremacy, any other race you want to put supremacy behind it, that doesn't involve the genocide of all other people. And when it comes to Jewish supremacy, it happens to include the genocide of all other people. So I would pick
total Jewish supremacy over the world. That's been the essence of Judaism from the beginning. And all you got to do is read their scriptures and read their Talmud.
Absolutely. So why wouldn't I be a white supremacist if I just want to fight to make white people the best race? Well, I'm not even considered white because I'm considered
not even to make us the best, but just allow us to be ourselves. Allow us to have the heritage of our forefathers and the values and the faith of our forefathers. Why? Every people wants that, I think.
And I think the answer is right now we keep having these conversations, waking people up, calling out the frauds, but also preparing a little bit for, I'm really under the impression there's going to be a draft. We already are in World War III. We bombed Yemen like 5 times last week, the United States, not Israel. And, we really need to prepare to not comply with anything. And that's not just related to COVID. If they try to draft us, we should be pushing back on taxes. We should be doing more than demonstrating. I also think that, and I forgot who said this in historical times, but no Jew should have any position of control in education, politics, and this should extend to Zionists. They should not be in positions of power, and that should just go into effect immediately.
Right.
Because it's
because they're not to be trusted because they have real loyalty to a foreign nation.
It's absolute treason, and they should all be arrested, so or exiled. And that's really how I feel. I really think that's the only answer. Just like that's been the answer throughout history with this the Zionistic Judaic people. They've been exiled from other countries multiple times, and you know they might have gotten really far with us, but we still might have time to save the United States of America, and I'm rooting for it.
Well, I believe in freedom of speech, but I agree with you in this respect. If somebody wants to have an opinion or wants to write an opinion in an academic way, in a nonviolent way, that's fine. At the same time, if someone is a Zionist loyalist, mm-hmm. and that's easy to prove and easy to show, who say is a member of another state and they sworn loyalty to Israel, which any dual citizen of Israel has already done, mm-hmm. they should not be allowed to serve in any government position in this country or any position that can affect the access of people to free speech. And it's these people who are restricting freedom of speech for non-Jews while allowing Jews to totally, totally destroy any sort of unity, any sort of value, any sort of justice, and even free speech itself. To the European American people and to other people around the world. They are the true tyrants of the world today. Thank you so much for being on with me, Laura. You are really articulate, and I can't wait to have another show with you. And now you understand a lot more what I'm thinking, and you're going to continue your education. I want to learn more about what you're thinking. I'm interested in reading any of your articles. I'm going to share them with my people, and my followers, and I have followers all over the world, by the way, of every race. And I just look forward to talking to you again about some current events and having more of a two-way discussion. This was your kind of first introduction to me, and I'm glad that you have better understanding of what I'm for from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And I'm looking forward to talking with you and have some real deep discussions with you about all of these things, about anything that you're studying, you're inquiring into, and what you want to offer in your own writings and your own thinking. Thank you so much, Laura Kaufman. I salute you.
Thanks for having me. Talk soon.
Fine. Bye-bye now.
Bye.